Okay, the recorder is started. The Kindle is being slow. There it is. Okay, NTI, Ephesians chapter 4. And in the Kindle, it is on page 341. What do you guys have in the paperback?
354.
354 for Ephesians 4?
342.
Okay. All right. So NTI Ephesians chapter 4. There is one mind and one spirit, and so there is one body in Christ. This means there is no separation between thought and effect. All is one within God, within the Son of God. Therefore, give as you would receive. Give to the mind that which you would receive of spirit, for they are one. I'm going to stop here for just a moment because the symbols that are used in this particular passage, you know, when the symbols came, you know, since I'm the scribe, I understood exactly what they meant. And basically, this is describing the process of making illusion, right? Not the process of creation, but the process of making illusion, if you're a core student, as a series of outputs and inputs. Okay? So what happens is you output an energy, and then it inputs back into you. And when you output, that is called giving it to mind. You could say giving it to the creative spirit. But once you give it to mind, the symbol that's being used for what brings it back to you is spirit. These are just words that are being used here. They have no real meaning at all. When telling me this, it could have just as easily said, you give to spirit and mind gives back to you. Like, it has no real meaning at all, except that it was just trying to differentiate. It was just trying to get me to see that output-input cycle. So the words that it's using is, it says, you give to mind, and then spirit gives to you. But they're just symbols. So it's not anything to think about or try and figure out, okay? So saying that again, therefore, give as you would receive. Give to the mind that which you would receive of spirit, for they are one. That which you give, you must receive, because the mind is the spirit. The mind is the great receiver. It's the receiver of the inputs, or the receiver of your outputs, actually. It's the receiver of your outputs. The mind is the great receiver, and spirit is the great deliverer. But spirit receives as mind receives, and mind delivers as does spirit. So there it's just saying, but these are just symbols, right? The mind and the spirit are one, so they listen as one, and they deliver as one. You and your brothers are not separate from them, so that you listen and deliver as they do. Imagine one body, listening as one and delivering as one, and you understand the Christ. It is one body, operating and functioning as one. Never is the body separate from its mind or its spirit. There is no separation within the body of Christ. The body functions with one true desire. The desire of Christ is to know itself and to deliver itself unto itself, that thyself be known. So what this is really saying is there's a lot of different things going on here. One thing is, you know, if we look at the apparent individual, right? If I spend a lot of time thinking about attack, for example, attack and defense stories going on in my head all the time, you know, that's kind of like an output that I send out to mind, and spirit then delivers me perceptions that teach me that attack is real, right? I may see it on the news. I may see these two people attacking each other. He may attack me. I may find myself attacking her. It doesn't matter. It's still all proving to me that attack is real. Right? So that's one way to look at this. But what this is saying, when it starts keeps emphasizing that spirit and mind are one, and emphasizes that all of the brothers are one, like a body of Christ, what this is really saying is, you know, you can look at it at that individual level, and it's helpful to look at it at the individual level, but it's not that simple. You know, because there is no such thing as the individual. So, for example, if I am spending a lot of time thinking about attack, right, then what's really happening, since I'm a part of the whole, is that my time thinking about attack also delivers perceptions of attack for him to witness, and for him to witness. And, you know, so you can't really separate out like that, because we're not separate. This is where the code, the flow in Ephesians are maybe slightly different than the law of attraction. The law of attraction seems to say you're an individual and you're going to attract to you what you think. And that is, I mean, that's somewhat true. But it's bigger than that. You also are affecting the whole with what you think. Right? You're affecting the whole. So, you know, lots of people get confused about this, thinking there's an individual, thinking that they are an individual. They think, okay, so if I quit believing in attack, there'll be no more attack in the world. Well, there's still, you know, 6.5 billion other people thinking about attack. Of course there's still going to be attack in the world.
Yeah, that's why that phrase that you hear all the time in course circles, you spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily
It's not true. What happens is you begin to see the attack differently. But like, you know, if Tom starts beating on Jacqueline right now, and I let go of the belief in attack, I'm not going to sit here thinking, there's no, you're not really hitting her. You know, I'm going to say, Tom, stop it. You know, and I'm going to say, but there's no judgment in me against Tom. There's no, you know, I respond differently, but I would still try and separate them. You know, I would still say, Dave, get Tom over there in the corner. I mean, you know, so we still physically see the world as it is, and the world as it is coming from what we're all thinking. But as I become healed of attack, I'm responding differently within myself. I'm no longer, you know, judging Tom as this horrible guy, or judging Jacqueline as this horrible woman that instigated it, or, you know, whatever sides I would have taken, I'm not taking sides anymore. You know, I don't feel differently about one than the other. All that kind of stuff is gone, because I personally do not feel attacked. Right? I'm not attacked. Okay? So what this is really saying is, you know, you can't separate your thoughts from everyone else's thoughts and from the appearance of the world. You just can't, because it's all one. It's all one body. And then it's also saying, and within this body of what appears to be a lot of different people with a lot of different things going on, there's only one thing that everybody really, really wants, even if they don't realize that yet. And that is to know the truth, to know thyself. You know, you could call it the pursuit for happiness, or the pursuit for love, or the pursuit for peace. Everyone has that. So even though there seems to be a lot of different stories going on, a lot of different separate wills going on, the truth is there's one binding true desire that everyone has in common. Okay?
Question.
Yes.
So if, and this is a personal question.
Okay.
So if you were to see that, you wouldn't have a judgment, but would you perceive, would you have any fear at all?
No, I don't think I would. I mean, I won't know unless you start beating on him. But I don't think I would. I think that what would happen is I would probably respond very, very quickly. What I've noticed in myself in situations, you know, that are unusual like that, is that I seem to be more effective than I once was. You know, more effective, because there is no fear. So it actually is, you know, it's kind of, in a way, it's more responsive.
Sure. In the old days, you would be resonating with that, with all the vibes of attack.
Yeah.
And so you'd be one with.
I'd be sucked into the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's really hard to say. You know, one thing I've learned is you can't predict what you would do in a situation. I think I told you guys this before, that Danielle and I were walking one day, and there was a dog following us. And we were going to be walking down a busy road, and I didn't want to see that dog get hit by a car, so I chased it off, chased it back home. And I told Danielle, I said, I don't know what I would do. I said, I don't think I could handle it if I saw a dog get hit by a car. And 10 minutes later, it appeared that it happened. It turned out it was something different, but it appeared that we saw a dog get hit by a car. And I wasn't the freaked out person I thought I would be. It turns out that the dog did not get hit by a car. Just to tell the end of the story, he jumped out of, it was a truck, he jumped out of it. But, you know, when we just kind of saw it real quick, it looked like the truck hit him. But actually, he jumped out. And he did get hurt. He jumped out because he wanted to come say hi to us. Not the smartest thing he ever did. But see, I thought I would freak out, not be able to handle it, and that's not what happened. So the truth is, we don't really know. You know, we're imagining what our reaction would be, and we don't really know until we face it. Like, I would never have told you that if I broke my wrist, like, you know, I'd be perfectly, perfectly happy and, like, not at all upset. I would have imagined that that would probably be upsetting based on my, you know, on past history. So it's hard to ask somebody, what would you do if?
Yeah, it just really underscores the point that we don't know anything.
We don't know.
We just don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. But no, I don't think I would be afraid, but I do think I would be proactive. But again, I'm making that up. Maybe I wouldn't be. Maybe I would sit here and watch you guys.
Maybe
I'd sell tickets. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start with 17 to 19 again. The body is awakening. Remember, because it's all one. The body is awakening to its own true desire. I should start with 14 to 16. There is no separation within the body of Christ. The body functions with one true desire. The desire of Christ is to know itself and to deliver itself unto itself, that thyself be known. The body is awakening to its own true desire, while the remnants of a past thought seem to be in operation. But this past thought is not true desire, and it has never been. It is a game that was played for experimentation. So we have this series of, you know, outputs and inputs that happen, right? And in fact, another teaching that I received that's not in NTI, but some of you, if you've heard my teachings, you've heard me talk about what I think, I see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. That's another symbol for this same thing, right? And what happens then if I do believe in attack, you know, I think about attack, I perceive attack, I experience attack, and then I think about it more. And I just keep generating this attack perception. I have an attacking world. I see things on the news. I see my neighbors fighting. I see, you know, my daughter mad at me. I see attack everywhere, right? So what this is saying is that, you know, things like attack and guilt and fear and all that ego stuff that appears to be all over the world, it says really the reason that's there is because it's just caught in this habitual cycle. Nobody wants that anymore. But it's such a habit, that thinking, right? That thinking attack, perceiving attack, experiencing attack, and it's just such a habit. And this is saying, but nobody really wants that anymore. Everybody wants peace, happiness, love, and if they're spiritually mature enough, they may know to say, know thyself, or awakening, right? But nobody really wants that. It's just everybody's so caught in that loop. So we have true desire, which people are awakening to, and you do see that. You see that everywhere if you look for it. But then we also have this repetitive past thought that's just running and running and running. And that's the current situation of the world, right? That's what's going on.
Yeah, and they're all doing their best.
They're all doing their best. And most of them are completely ignorant also.
They're ignorant. That's
they're completely ignorant. They have no idea,
right?
That
they're ignorant.
Yeah, they have no idea. So they're just following the habit energies. Yeah. Okay, so starting with 17 to 19 again. The body is awakening to its own true desire, while the remnants of a past thought seem to be in operation. But this past thought is not true desire, and it has never been. It is a game that was played for experimentation. See it as a shift occurring within one body. See it as a change in mind and focus. Determine where within the shift you choose to be and join the operation of the body there. So obviously it knows now, you know, we're reading this. It knows that we're not among the ignorant. We actually do have some clarity about what's going on. And it's saying, so now that you realize there's a couple things going on, there's this being stuck in habit energy, right? And then there's learning to make different choices because you understand how the outputs, inputs work, right? Which one do you want to be? Where do you want to be? And you know it affects everyone. It affects the whole world. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be staying in those habit energies? Or are you one of the ones that's willing to start making different choices, doing your best, making the higher choice, and starting to send out and receive a different energy? Which one do you want? That's the question that's being asked. Verses 20 to 24. The same shift that occurs within the body occurs within the aspect that is you. So that's the apparent individual mind. Your mind is your great receiver, and your spirit delivers as the mind accepts. In this way, you are the same as the body, a microcosm of all that is. Choose where within the shift you will stand and make all of your choices from there. So just like the mind of the whole receives the energies that are output, and the spirit of the whole then delivers those energies, you know, as perception or whatever, it's saying that exact same thing is happening in you. Your mind receives as thoughts, as emotions, as moods, right? Your mind receives, and then if you believe it and you act on it, you output it again, you're going to receive it again. So we have the cycle that's going on at the macro level, and then the same cycle happening at the micro level, the exact same cycle, okay? So how do you help the macro? By working on the micro, right? That's what you do, because you're a part of the macro. So your job then is really to start paying attention to what you receive. You know, and again, it can come in as thoughts, it can come in as moods, it can come in as emotions, you know, but your job is to start paying attention to it with this wisdom that if I fully believe it, fully, you know, follow the habit energies that I've followed for God knows how long, fully follow all that again, the cycle is only going to continue. And to start doing your best, wherever you're at not falling into that same cycle again. And again, depending on where you are, your best, you know, if you're using your judging mind, may not be that good, you know. Like I said, when I first started and the thing that I wanted to change was the way I screamed at Jasmine and put her on timeout in a very punishing way, the highest thing that I could do at that time was put myself on timeout instead and then start looking at my mind, looking at my guilt, letting go of my guilt, you know. I couldn't suddenly be enlightened and suddenly be happy. I was still very upset. But that is the best I could do. And you know what that was? The beginning of changing habit energies. It was a different choice than the choice I made for 6 or 7 years before, right? It was a different choice. And so that's what this is really asking. It's asking us, if you want to be, Peace Pilgrim used to say, she wanted to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And this is really presenting the same kind of opportunity. It's saying, if you want to be a part of the solution, then understand that the whole world comes from, you know, what appears to be a world of people following habit energies, and understand that you're a part of that, and also your individual experience is coming from that, right? And start doing what you can to move out of those habit energies, to move out of that repetitive cycle. Verses 25 to 28. You are a part of the body of one, and you are completely inseparable from it. What you choose is received of the mind and delivered by spirit back to you. This is the loop of experience. This is how existence makes for you that which you would receive. It gives based upon your choice. It makes for you that which you order. You know, and I don't think that word was put in there by accident. You know, what it reminded me of is the scribe at the time when I heard it, and what it reminds me of to this day is like ordering off of a menu, right? And when you follow certain habit energies, you are ordering a certain type of experience. And that kind of makes me stop and think, but do I want to keep ordering that experience? Then why do I keep following the same habit energy that keeps placing that order? Right? Maybe again, I should start making a different choice in whatever way that I can. Make, therefore, your decision and then be true to it. The mind is receiver, but you choose from the mind. Now again, this is saying at the individual level, you have no control over what you receive. You have no control over the fact that a mood that's coming from past habit energies is going to come over you. You have no choice that an emotion is going to come. You have no choice that certain thoughts are going to come. What you do have a choice about is what to do once they're there. You know, can you see the mood differently this time? Can you not go as deeply into it as you usually do? Can you not throw it back out at everyone else around you? Is there something you can do different, right, than the way you've always done it before? Because it's the way you've always done it before that's brought it back this time. You know, so again, it's just asking for a change, a higher level change or a more right-minded change, not necessarily perfection, you know, as we judge perfection. Yes.
Yeah, Western civilization, we're so hell-bent on action.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, studying a lot of the Eastern philosophies now, it's the non-reaction is so much more important.
Yes.
You know, to not react.
Yes.
You know, and to do that in a way that is gentle, because a lot of times you can't go right into total non-reaction.
Right.
Just you do the best you can with the information that you have now and with the consciousness that you have, but.
But in fact, sometimes what you might, you know, assuming you're like me, and I always believe everybody is the same, you know, when you're trying to change a habit energy, like if you were a yeller, like I was, what you might do is yell first, and then realize, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then start to back off, go in the other room or whatever. But that's still a change, because used to you yelled and then just went right on yelling, right? But the yelling may still come first for a while, but it's not lasting as long before you're starting to say, wait a minute, I got to go in the other room. I got to go for a walk. I got to get out of here. And why are you getting out of here? Because you're trying to change those grooved in habit energies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminds me when my youngest was little, and we get into something and whatever, and I do something, and so then I say, you know, can you forgive me? And he'd always say yes immediately. And one time it was turned around, and he says, can you forgive me? And I'm one that holds a grudge. and I said, no. And just like you said, you need to be out first. I said, no. And he just looked at me crushed because, you know, he always forgave me instantly. And so then I said, let me think about it. Just a minute. Give me a minute.
Yes.
And then I said, even though I didn't want to say it, I said, yes, I forgive you. And after that, it became easier. But, you know, I think he taught me a lot as a little child in that aspect, because I tend to not want to forgive. I don't want to talk about it. I want to hold a grudge, you know. And he really helped me a lot on that.
Yeah, somebody was saying to me today on my call, they were saying, you know, some of these attract pulls, you know, they're really, really strong attractions, right? You know, like to do this wrong-minded stuff, whatever your wrong-minded thing is. And I said, yeah, they're really strong attractions. But this is explaining why they're really strong attractions. They're really worn-in habit energies. In fact, I noticed that when I broke my wrist. This is on a physical level, but it's the same thing. you know, my right hand, there's all kinds of things my right hand just does. And I never think about it. The right hand just does it. But when the right hand was unavailable and I had to start getting the left hand to do those same things, the grooves, the habit, the grooves in the brain, what do they call it?
Neural grooves?
Yeah, those grooves, they weren't there for the left hand. So the first week, I was getting really, really tired because it was such effort just to get the left hand to do the simplest tasks. But guess what's already happening? It's getting easy. You know, and it's the same thing when we're trying to change from wrong-minded to right-minded being. You know, it's really a habit to be wrong-minded. And it takes effort, and we may even get tired, and we may even get frustrated sometimes when we're trying to switch over to right-minded, because the groove is over here on the wrong-minded side. But the change can happen. You know, it's just a matter of how bad do we want it. You know, but it does sometimes take a lot of effort in the beginning, because it's so easy to fall down that path of getting mad again. You know, or so easy to fall down that path of lying again for approval, or, you know, whatever our thing is. Yeah.
You know, the habits are connected with identity too. Which
yes.
Makes it so, you know, sometimes, you know, you talk about look back in a year, and I'll look back in a year and I'll be like, I see a little improvement, but good God, I've been working on this. I've been working to change a habit, but it's the identity connection that's what's really so powerful to me.
Well, you know, Spirit once told me that you can do one of two things, that you can let go of identity and all these other things will fall away, or you can let go of these other things and the identity will fall away. And probably whichever way you do it is whatever feels easiest to you, right? For some people, working on the identity, which is really what self-inquiry is all about, who am I and all of that, when you let go of the identity, you're also going to let go of the anger energies, the jealous energies, the unworthiness energies. Or you can take the purification path, which is letting go of the unworthiness, the fear, the guilt. And as you do that, the identity also disappears. Because they're linked. They're really the same thing.
Yeah, for me, it's more like the fear.
Yeah.
A lot of what the wrong mind does is because underneath that there is fear.
So yeah, either way, you're really kind of doing the same thing. Just depends on which way is more natural for you, easier for you. And for me, I seem to have done more of the letting go of, letting go of unworthiness, letting go of the belief in rejection, letting, you know, more of that than letting go of the identity. But then the identity just got weaker and weaker and weaker. Because that stuff made up the identity. Yeah. All right, so starting with 29 to 32 again. Make, therefore, your decision, and be true to it. The mind is receiver, but you choose from the mind. Watch the thoughts carefully. And I would say thoughts here could also be experienced as emotions, as moods, right? Watch the thoughts carefully. Do not choose those which you would not deliver. Do not choose those which you would not deliver. Knowing all that is delivered can be given back to you. So again, this is literally asking me, I'll take the blame here because, you know, I'm the scribe. This is literally asking me to remember how this output-input process works. And, you know, this worked for me. I mean, this, when I realized this, I call it a very mechanical process of how this worked, this gave me, I don't know, the reason to change. Because I understood that if I didn't start making the change, these same patterns were just going to keep right on repeating forever, right? And I knew I didn't want those patterns to repeat forever. And so now I also knew that if I start making some effort towards change, the patterns will begin to grow weaker and the patterns will begin to die. But it was still on me to make a change first. You know, I couldn't sit around and wait for Jasmine to quit being disrespectful, right? I had to choose to change. You know, that's where it had to happen, was here. So watch the thoughts carefully. Do not choose those which you would not deliver, knowing all that is delivered can be given back to you. Pick the thoughts you would deliver to the body, knowing that it is also you. Let go of all thoughts you would not keep, and they shall not be delivered. Now let go, sometimes people don't understand let go, but let go just means let it pass on by. Don't take it in and follow that thought. And if you have taken in and followed it a little bit, then release it, right? That's what it means. And, you know, in the beginning, some of these habit energy thoughts are so heavy. The best way to let them go is to just sit with them. You know, just sit with them. So you may have a thought, like if you're a screamer, you may have a thought in your mind telling you to go in there and scream and raise a ruckus and give hell to everyone, and you just stay in your room with the door shut, watching all of that go on in you. But you don't physically get out there and go yell at people. You know, because the best thing you can do right now is just watch the storm in your own head. Right? Deliver in love, and you receive in love, for you deliver unto yourself. Know your happiness by realizing your truth and operating in it according to true desire. So that's all the further we'll go today, because this is kind of, I mean, it's good stuff, but it's kind of heavy stuff. I don't think we should do too many chapters at a time. So basically, the gist of this chapter is that we have an opportunity to help ourselves and help the whole world. That's our opportunity. And the way that we do that is by noticing the habits that we are in that are not at all helpful, and making a decision to do what we can to change those habits. And again, still doing the best, you know. Still, you know, like I said, what we can may be leaving a situation so that we don't explode, you know, if that's our habit, getting angry, you know.
Yeah, and this chapter is really just, it's such a demonstration of our power, you know, mm-hmm. really. And, you know, you always see it, the last corny line in some of those movies is, if only he would use his power for good.
Yeah, and that's what it's asking us to do, use our power for good instead of evil, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And we can. Every one of us can do this. There isn't anyone who can't. You know, the problem is that some of those habit energies are so well grooved in that it does take effort and determination. And if we, I guess if we don't really, 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 really want to do it, we'll just keep falling into those habit energies again, because we won't put forth the effort that it takes not to follow those cycles.
You know, like you said a while ago, what's key is understanding how the cycle works.
Yes.
If I keep putting this out there, that's what I'm going to keep getting. It feels as if the whole world is doing this to me. Other people are doing it. Yeah, but he forced me to scream. Anybody would scream in my position. Once you really understand that you created the situation.
That's right.
Then you can start taking that power back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really taking that responsibility. Yes, responsibility for sight, as the Course calls it. But I did take this responsibility, but I don't know if I would have without NTI Ephesians. NTI Ephesians, that's where everything began to change for me. That's where I began what I call true forgiveness. Because then I understood, and I don't know if I knew Einstein's quote then, but somehow I got it without knowing it. The quote about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. I don't think I knew that quote then, but that's what this said to me anyway. I figured that out, that it's stupid to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I knew I wanted something different. I wasn't that stupid. I knew I didn't want to be a screaming mom. You know, I knew I didn't want to be a fearful person. Right? I knew that. Because it says we all have the same true desire, you know. But now I was beginning to realize that the reason I was a screaming mom and the reason that I was a fearful person was because of me repeating these cycles. And so now I knew that I wanted to stop repeating these cycles.
And to me, this chapter speaks to, and I remember getting this from this chapter, is that actions are not primary. The reactions are what create the future.
Yes.
They create the present and create the future.
Yes.
So we're so hell-bent on focusing on actions.
Yes.
What have I done? You know, what did I do in the past? My actions, and it's always, to me, it's always the reactions. It's always how am I responding to this? How am I treating myself?
Yes. What were you, I think I know what you're going to say, but maybe not. What were you going to say, Dave?
Well, you just summed up the
daily quote?
No.
Oh. That's the daily quote today, too.
The script.
The code?
The code.
Do you have your phone, Danielle?
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you to do something? Are you awake enough to do something?
I'm a little bit sleepy.
Yeah, I can tell. You look sleepy. Can you go to Awakening Together and get us today's daily quote? It's under Inspiration. I don't think I have my days confused. I think today is the day that the daily quote is all about all of this, too.
Yeah. I know it's really good.
We'll all sit here and stare at her.
Don't stare at her.
It'll take her longer to do this than it ever has before, because her habit energy is to get nervous if we stare at her.
Great, Danielle.
Me too, Danielle.
And this is being recorded, Danielle.
Gina, you can edit this, right? You can just clip it.
I can, but I probably won't remember to. But I don't think she cares. Do you care?
No.
I would never say anything that I thought would really bother her in front of anybody.
Do you want to look at this?
What, you think you got it?
No, because I'm here and I'm not.
Oh, that's Regina Dawn Akers. Yeah, we need to get to Awakening Together. There it is. Ooh, I just typed A. Apparently you've been there before. But I'm not as good on the phone as you are. I'm not a little, I started to say a little teenager, but you aren't either. Let's see. I got a, how to enter the sanctuary. Where, oh, daily quote. There it is. This is kind of cool. I never did this on the phone before. Okay, I got it there. Now how do I get it to, oh, I hit done maybe. Here we go. There's Norma. Hello, Norma and Raina. Their pictures show up. Where's the daily quote? Okay, I think we're getting there. Takes forever, but we're getting there. Okay, here we go. The daily quote. Realize that now, in this moment of time, you are creating. You are creating your next moment based on what you are feeling and thinking. That's what's real. So, you know, I don't say that's what's real. This is relative truth rather than absolute truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not what's real. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore it. Right? That doesn't mean we should ignore it. So realize that now, in this moment of time, you are creating. We could say creating experience, right?
That's a good quote for the refrigerator.
Yeah. You are creating your next moment based on what you are feeling and thinking, right? And like you were saying, really reacting, you know? Yeah. And so just make the best choice you can now, and that's helpful. And if you make a wrong-minded choice, as soon as you realize you've made a wrong-minded choice, you actually have another opportunity. So if you did start following those habit energies and then you see that you did, then you have another opportunity, right? And the only time you can do anything is now. So to go back and beat yourself up for having gone down a habit energy a while ago is silly. Just, okay, now I see that I did that. Now I'll leave the room, you know, or whatever you need to do, right? And so it's about being very, very focused in this moment and looking at what your best choice is now and doing your best to take that choice, that road, now. And again, when you do it, obviously you're doing it for yourself. There's no doubt about it. You know, this is going to change everything for you. But you're not just doing it for yourself. Because of the way we're all connected, the choice that you're making to change this habit energy changes something for everyone. You know, like there's no way if one person gives up anger, that's less anger energy for the entire world. That's how that works.
That's a big motivation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you may be doing it for you, but it's definitely not just you. So the assignment this week then, even though this is what we did last time, I think to me it sounds like it's the same assignment. It's still do your best, but maybe do your best this time with a little more understanding as to why you're doing your best, right? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I thought you gave the assignment a while ago. Shall I tell you what I wrote?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What did you write?
I wrote, notice habits we are in and do our best to change them to right-minded actions.
Okay, let's do that. Notice the habits you're in. And do your best to change them to right-minded actions. Or right-minded of just observing, you know. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, so I will stop the recorder and we'll go into a little bit of silence.